Accession number 31425, Mr. Mike Gagan, Real 2. Now, we're talking about your time in Plaistow after the main bombing started in September 1940.
That's right.
And it's...
Sorry.
What about the bomb damage? So those are incendiaries, but how much damage was done to the streets around you? I mean,
there was a hell of a lot of damage done, and the first bombs to drop in Plaistow was in Whitwall Road, and it was on St Philip's Church and Beaufort Road and everything like that. There was an extreme lot of damage, and a hell of a lot of people were trapped in their houses.
Was this bomb damage then?
All bomb damage.
Not incendiaries?
No.
Or both?
No, this was all explosives. And also in one road, the gas mains had gone and people was trapped. A lot of them had Morrison shelters in the houses, and you could hear them screaming and everything like that. I know, because I went up there when it happened, but the very next morning, and the police was trying to stop people going, but everyone was going to help, everyone. Even a man, he had a horse and cart there, picking people up to take them to hospital. And they was getting people out of the houses. Of course, you didn't have many vehicles them days. And the rescue people, they were doing a marvellous job, really taking risks, going into places. One man come out of a place, and he was only out about 10 seconds, and the whole floor collapsed above him. So... I mean, everyone did their piece, did their bit in those days.
Now, you wouldn't help, though. You're too young. You just see this going on.
Well, we're just seeing it going on. We was looking, you know.
Now, what other damage or other, you know, big areas of damage you remember?
Well, there was a hell of a lot of damage, like, because the bombs were dropped at random. And they were not only on the docks, but they was in all the surrounding areas. And... It was terrific, some of the damage, what was done in a hell of a lot of areas, what we saw, you know. I mean, we couldn't see all the areas, but there was a hell of a lot of damage and deaths and things like this, and fires, big fires, and we had the auxiliary fire service there. And you didn't have all the big fire appliances, what you've got today. Mostly, a lot of them had trailers, and they had actually, a lot of places had a big water tank built outside, like in the parks. There was one in Grange Road Park, that must have been about 30 foot by 30 foot, full up with water, and those people used to go and fill up those places on the water tanks, and they'd go and do that, and if they was within that area... Then they had like these pumps on two wheels, which they used to go up, start the engine, and then pump out from there and put the water anywhere where they could, you know. So many places had these water tanks built and filled up with water during the day. And also nearly every road had a big bin in it full of sand so that you could go and things like that. And nearly all the air raid wardens posts, there used to be a lot of those. They'd have first aid equipment in them and things like that. And then there'd be the rescue and the heavy rescue. The heavy rescue would have a crane or something if there was too much heavy stuff, you know. But some of the damage was really terrific.
Now, any close escapes or any particular incidents you remember?
Yes, we had a very close one. My old mother and myself in Plaistow, the whole complete lot come through once, and it really, really blasted us. All got blasted in the lungs. And
so where did the bomb hit?
Just on the back of the garden, on the end of the garden.
And where were you?
We was just in the room. We wasn't in the air raid shelter. My old mum, she was unconscious for 8 hours after, you know, the shock and everything like that.
And how much damage had been done to your house?
Oh, it was practically wrecked, you know. Practically wrecked.
So was that the first close escape you'd had in a...
Well, other than them bullets coming down, and we'd had the windows all come in and everything like that, but we was in the air raid shelters at the time.
This one you weren't. Had there been no warning then, or...?
The warning had just gone and we was just getting ready to go.
And look, can you describe, I know it's difficult to describe a visual thing, but what state was the house in?
Well, you got no windows, window frames. It was falling down before that ever come, you know what I mean? And the doors off and things like this. So all you could do was try and patch it up. And those days you didn't have plastics or nothing like that. So you didn't have felt anything. You used anything you could find, you know.
Now, would anyone help, you know, repair? You know, was there anybody to help you?
Because
you didn't have much money, did you?
No, there was no one because there was no organisation in repairs in that respect. So you had to do whatever you had to do yourself. And as you say,
you stayed in the house at that time?
Only for a couple of days, and then we had to leave. Yeah.
Now, where did you move to?
We moved to my aunt's. She let us have one room in Brunswick Street, Walthamstow.
And what was it like there? I mean, it must have been crowded.
Well, we had one room, small room. There was my father, my mother, two sisters and myself. And we used to sleep mostly. She had an Anderson shelter there. And we was there for only a short while. And my father went and got an empty flat. There was a flat. And he managed to get that for us.
So where was that flat?
That was in West Avenue Road, number 5, West Avenue Road, Walthamstow.
So also in Walthamstow.
Yeah.
Now, what was life now? What about your school? Because you've moved now.
school, I went to, we found a school for me down, it was called Edinburgh Road School. That was in Walthamstow, just by the railway. And I suppose to get there would be about 20 minutes walk of a morning. But it was a nice school.
How did you settle in there?
Entirely different from what I'd been used to.
In what way?
up this area, I think that the education was a bit higher than what I'd been used to. You know, in a little bit seemed a bit higher, and also the people wasn't so poor as where I'd been.
Did that leave you a bit behind? You know,
no, I was well up in the front, and at 13 I even won a writing competition, and I won a gold pen out of all the schools.
So although you'd not been used to it and it was higher than you were used to, you responded well to it then?
Oh yeah, because my father used to teach me, you know. We had to do lessons at home, because when the schools were shut I would have just been roaming the streets, but he formed a programme which we had to adhere to. And also I won the diving championships in Walthamstow as well when I was 13, you know, swimming. So it seemed to give me that bit extra than what I'd ever had down in Plaster. You know, you could, that little extra, you know. And my father got a job in Delarue's as a maintenance man.
I should have asked, when did the bomb damage to your house and the move take? Do you remember when it, roughly?
I think it was about 41-ish, something like that.
So that's when you went to
Walthamstow, yeah.
And the second move was also 1941, because you weren't at your aunt's long.
No, we wasn't there long.
Now, so what was life like at the new place? Well, tell us a bit about your sport, because you haven't really mentioned sport much. You just mentioned it. Was sport still going on then?
Yeah, and sports used to be, and before the war, I've still got a certificate, which I won little, I think I was about 8 years old. But sports was still going on there, and even the swimming pool in Walthamstow, in the High Street, it was all blacked out the windows, but it was still open, and we could go swimming, and that we used to go swimming and diving and things like that. You
now,
know.
What were your main sports then?
My main sports was swimming and boxing. I used to belong to the Buxton Boxing Club.
Tell us about the swimming first, because we saw.
Well, I used to. I love swimming, and I joined the Walthamstow Swimming Club, and we'd go swimming perhaps 3 times a week. Sometimes the schools took you up there, and also, if the air raids wasn't, because they eased off a lot, the air raids, and they may be open of an evening. And one of the main people that come there was Roy Romaine. He was a captain in the army. His father had a shop in High Street, Walthamstow, a big clothing shop. But Roy Romaine was the former European swimming champion. And he used to come there. And he was about 6'3" or 6'4", you know, what I can remember, because I used to look up at him. And he'd teach us swimming and everything. He was a terrific man.
And diving, you mentioned in particular.
Yeah.
Is that your speciality? Or?
Yeah, I used to love diving. Yeah.
Now tell me about the boxing then.
I used to belong to the Buxton Boxing Club in Walthamstow, because I'd been, when I was in Plaistow, when I was young, used to box for the school there from about 6 or 7 years old. You had to get, you know, because this was part of their training. And then when I come to Walthamstow, I joined the Buxton Club.
Now tell me about the Buxton Club and the boxing then. What is the Buxton Club?
The boxing club, you know, you'd still go around on tournaments, although the war was on. There'd be one club standing, another one, you know, all the tournaments and everything like this. So, it give you that little bit extra spirit, you know. And also, I joined the cycling club.
Did you enjoy boxing?
I loved boxing, yeah.
And what weight did you box at then?
Oh, then I think I was lightweight then, you know. And I was lightweight then.
And how did you do? Were you any good, or did you just enjoy it?
I enjoyed it, but, you know, them days you didn't have much competition because the war was on, so you'd only have competitions like, you know, you go in and... And I won a few competitions, you know, so I didn't mind.
Now tell us about the cycling.
The cycling was, bicycles were hard to come by. You didn't have what you've got these days. You had the old, big old fashioned bikes and things like that. And if you could get a bike, and I joined the Marsh Cycling Club in Walthamstow, and Sundays they may have 100 mile cycle ride, 100 miles on a bike. So you'd start out about 6 in the morning, and you've got to really go some all round Essex, and you know they'd mark it all out, and many people never arrive till the next day, some the day after, because they never made it, the bikes had collapsed. And those days you made what you could. And always remember, we from Walthamstow to Southend was 36 miles, and one day we had a cycle, but you couldn't go into Southend, it was all barred and everything because of security. So we rode down there, and the storms come up and the winds, and we've had to come back in the winds. And when you're cycling back from Southend in an old bike with fixed wheels, you didn't have a good bike, you know, you had to make them up. When you come back there, I can remember it was you beating against the wind and everything, and perhaps the air raids have been on while we're there. So you've got to come home and go straight into the shelter, soaking wet and everything, you know. But they'd be pleased to see you, just that you've got home, you know. So, and I stayed in there for many years.
Now, were you a member of any of the boys' organisations?
Yes, the Boys' Life Brigade.
Tell me about that.
When I first came to Walthamstow, I think it was the 17th Boys' Brigade in Alford Road, the Baptist Church in Alford Road, Walthamstow, and I joined that. And
were
it
your
was
family Baptist, or was it just the nearest one to join?
It was the nearest one to join. And I joined that just for community spirit, and they give you a hat, a belt, and
is that a pillbox hat? Still?
Yeah, and a pouch come round, and the belt, and what it was good, you had to. There was an old man in Walthamstow called Captain Cecil, an old 14 war man, and he used to run the Life Brigade, him and his brother, and he always made sure that you were clean and smart. And if you wasn't smart, he'd tell you straight, he wouldn't mess about. And also, for swimming, I used to swim for them as well. And a teacher who we had swimming, a swimming teacher in the Boys' Life Brigade, was a Mr. Hunt, who lived in Maynard Road, Walthamstow, I think it was. And he had one leg. He had lost a leg in a 14 war. But he was a swimming instructor, and he was really good. And and also another man there, he was a contractor, and his name was Glenn Denning. He used to do all the white lining on the roads, contracting for the councils and everything after the war, this was. But during the war, he was an officer in the Boys' Life Brigade.
So what did you do with the Boys' Brigade? What Boys' Life Brigade? What sort of activities did you get up to?
Well, they take you out in, let's say we're going to the country. Let's say we're going to the country, something like that. Like you may go up in the forest, not far away, for a day up there.
Is that Epping Forest?
Epping Forest, yeah. And you'd go up there just to, they might give you something, you've got to find some kind of a bracken or something like this, you know, grasses. Everything was to keep you occupied and that. And also a lot of map reading and things like that.
What about drill?
They'd give you a drill there, but I had more drill in the Army Cadets than I had in the Boys' Life.
One thing I should have asked about recreation, did you play on the bomb sites much, either in Walthamstow or
yes.
in... it's just, we'd like a bit... Because, I mean, it's the sort of picture people have of kids in London, but what did you actually do on bomb sites?
We used to go and play on bomb sites just round the corner here, there was one, and we'd knock off from school because I changed that school there and come to Barrett Road School, the bottom of the turning where I am now, and all the turnings was bombed at the side. And as soon as the school's finished, we'd be all out in the bomb sites, rushing from across all the wrecks and everything like that, you know, hide and seek and cowboys, anything, you know, or the Germans fighting us sort of thing, and everything like that, you know. But we'd always be playing on bomb sites because most of the places, like where you come on the central line, there's a park there, which is a bus shelter. But it used to be a community shelter all the way under there, all in the area where the park was. So you couldn't go and play much. They'd leave a few swings for the young kids, but it was always air raid shelters. And also where I came from, they had the memorial grounds in Plaistow, and they had air raid shelters there, but the fields where they didn't have air raid shelters, they dug trenches in case any German planes or gliders tried to land there, because there was always the fear of invasion.
Now, were you aware that the bomb sites were dangerous? Or if they were dangerous, I mean, you know.
We didn't worry about whether they was dangerous or not. We just went out there to have a bit of fun and, you know, we'd play in them, swinging on the old, you know, anything there, which was, some of them was dangerous, and you'd just for a dare, you'd find boys climbing up on rafters and things like that, which you know would break if they go any further, but you didn't worry about that. You all had that spirit, like you want to have a game.
Any other? We'll come to the Army Cadets in a minute, but any other boys' organisation you're a member of? Or big hobbies?
I joined the Scouts for about 2 weeks.
We didn't like it.
And it was a bit too rough, they reckon, for it. So, and the Scout Master had a word with us, and we didn't go anymore.
So, when did you join the Army Cadets? Were you still at school when you joined?
Oh, yes. I was about 13 year old when I joined the Army Cadets.
And where were they based?
Well, one was based in Ruckholt Road, Leighton.
What road?
Ruckholt. Ruckholt. Ruckholt Road.
Was that in a drill hall?
It was in a church hall, church. And it was the 83rd East Anglian Field Cadet Regiment. And the Home Guard was with us as well.
So, 83rd East Anglian Field
Cadet Regiment.
And what was that formed of?
It was like boys, anything from, say, 12 or 13, until they went into the army or old enough for service.
And tell me, how did you join?
Well, because in those days nearly everyone was in some kind of a cadet force. There was the Army Cadets, Naval Cadets and the Air Force Cadets. And nearly everyone, girls as well, a lot of them used to join the Air Force Cadets. You train as signallers, gunners, infantry, and we were also training with the Home Guard.
How did they start you? You know, when you joined, you just went and signed up, did you?
Yeah, you went and joined up, and then then they'd give you a uniform.
Now, what uniform did they give you?
They give you an army uniform, and
do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was a khaki, same as a soldier's uniform, and sometimes you had to alter it and all like this because it wasn't made just for cadets. It was made where they could get the uniforms, but we'd all go on a parade.
Did they give you anything else or just the uniform?
The uniform, you had to find your own boots, but I got a pair of boots off my sister, who was in the Land Army, and I used to build all them up, and I used to wear them, and go there.
Now, when you went to this road, Ruckholt Road, the church, what sort of trade, what would a typical drill night be like?
You'd be learning drill.
Now, tell me, how do you take to drill?
Very good, because you'd have the man who was an RSM, he was an ex-serviceman from the 14 War, and he'd really give you some discipline. And you did what he would told you. You didn't argue with him.
Tell me about the drill. What was it like? Do you remember?
It was a bit hard, and not drilling before, then he'd show you the base, and then you'd get really used to it and you'd put your heart and soul into it.
You didn't have any problems, with coordination then?
Oh, no. Everyone used to really, really go into it. I went away for 2 weeks to Purbright, to the guards depot. No, Caterham. Caterham guards depot. I was about 13, 14.
Now, had you done anything else before you went there other than a bit of drill?
Yes, we'd done rifle training.
Tell us about that then, before we go into Caterham. What rifle training have you done?
We used to go rifle training, and on Hackney Marshes, they had a big, there was an old brick wall and all sandbagged and everything, and they'd put a target up there and you'd go firing on there.
Now, was this a full Lee Enfield or was it a 2-2?
No, it was a Lee Enfield 303.
And what was that like on your young shoulder then?
It used to really, really give you a bang if you didn't hold it properly. I've seen many a fellow boy with a hole in his jaw and things like that. And also, Sten guns as well. We had a Sten gun as well.
At 13, or was this later?
I was walking round with a Sten gun. I used to carry one with me at 13. And also, when I come to Walthamstow, there used to be the drill hall, the Essex drill hall in Churchill, the big drill hall, and I got supplied with a gun there. I was about 14, and it was one, I think, they used it in the Boer War. A breech loader, you had to pull it down and load it, and it was as big as me, but we used to walk around with it, and you'd find all men going to work with guns on their shoulders, with the badge on their LDV.
Now tell me about the Sten gun training then.
Well, this we have a bit of that in the drill hall, in a room, and used to be the drill hall in Walthamstow, and you go in there.
This is at the church?
No, this is in the drill hall itself, the TA centre.
Where was that?
In Churchill.
So where did you do your training, at this church or at the drill hall?
Well, in
both?
Both. And the Sten gun, they used to have like a hall there, but it was all wool with all full of sandbags, everything, and you'd just stand there and fire, try and hit the target. You know, it wouldn't be a high target, and you wasn't far away, because there are only 9mm bullets in a Sten gun.
Did it warn you how dangerous they were? If you drop them, they'd go off?
Yeah.
They told you?
Oh, yeah. Because the breech is so heavy when you bang them down.
Any other weapons you were introduced to before you went to Caterham? The rifle, Sten gun, anything else?
No.
Any other training you got before you went to Caterham?
No. Well, only like we might be there 3 or 4 times a week training, you know. And then we'd go out Sunday mornings with the Home Guard on Hackney Marshes.
Now, tell me about exercising with this Home Guard. We're always interested in the Home Guard. I mean, what would you do with them?
You've got your foot caught.
It's all right. Okay, carry on.
We'd go there, and they may be defending a place. There was an old pavilion on Hackney Marshes, and we had to attack, and the Home Guard were defending. And, you know, you'd be behind a big pile of earth or something like that, and then you got to attack the building which the Home Guard were in. They didn't have live rounds or anything like this, but you're just there, like they've got their rifles, you've got your rifles, but you had to throw stuff as hand grenades. And it had been raining one day, and I can remember it now. There's a Home Guard there, he's an old chap, and he's standing there, and I picked a big tuft of grass out, must have been about a foot across, and it was all wet, and I threw it, and it hit him right in the face. Well, he was going to kill everyone that day. and this was it, you know, and then...
Who was controlling the exercise? I mean, was there an umpire, or was it just your officers?
No, it was just the officers. Like, the Home Guard had been with the Army cadets, and you'll find that some of them were ex-officers like in the Army, and they were there. There was one man on the Home Guard, he was an ex-colonel in the 14 War, and... he was a disciplinarian, but everyone liked him and appreciated him, because those days, all you were worried about if we got invaded. This was the main thing. I mean, invasion, that used to be the main thing. And they said that if we're invaded, all the church bells will ring and everything like this.
So that was still in 1941-42, a real fear.
Oh, yeah, and 43-44. You know, it was always that fear that you'd be invaded. So from 13.